Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everyone, and it's the Sabbath day, September 5th, the year 2020, and the year of double trouble. Folks, we are living in the last days. We are living in the end times. And I just want to greet every single one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. And just give God the honor and the glory and the praise for where He has brought us. For the Lord has brought us from death, folks. We literally come from a death sentence because we sinned as angels. We sinned as angelic beings when we were in heaven with the Most High God. We doubted. The Lord said to me that before He placed me in my mother's womb, I knew Him and He knew me. I stood before Him. He ministered to me while I praised His holy name. He said, He showed me all the mysteries of the universe. And He told me He was going to send me on a journey in the flesh. And when I get there, I will not remember my former state. But He has placed the light inside of me. And if I follow the light, I will find my way back to Him. So, folks, He said, my sins, before He placed me in my mother's womb, were doubt. Doubt against Him. He said there was much confusion in heaven when the war broke out in heaven. There was much confusion. And because of the confusion, many of us doubted. So, the Bible also tells us because we know that doubt is unbelief. We had entered into unbelief towards the Most High God. We doubted the sovereignty. We doubted His love. We doubted His righteousness. We doubted His honesty. And there was much chaos in heaven. And because of this, the Father said, because of unbelief, you, and not only you, which is me, He said, not only me, but many of us, He said, but many of you, because of unbelief, you could not stay in my holy presence. And so, folks, we are to remember that God is a God of mercy. He is a God of love. He is a God of righteousness. And no sin, no type of sin can stand in His presence. No type of sins can exist in His presence. Not even doubt. And so, I want everyone to know that because of our Heavenly Father's righteousness, because of His holiness, because of His purity, He's pure, He's righteous, He's holy. And the Bible also tells us that God is love. So He's all love, and He's a consuming fire. He's all of this, and because He's pure and righteous and true and just, and there is no guile found in Him, and there is no spot or wrinkle in Him. He's like a consuming fire, and it consumes anything that is not of Him. It consumes everything that is contrary to Him, everything that is opposite of Him. He consumes everything, so sin cannot exist in the presence of the Most High God. And folks, This is the reason why we have to be perfect for Him. This is the reason why we have to be righteous and holy, and we can't do it of our own self. We have to allow our Heavenly Father to.
This is the third towel I see you using, Juliet.
No, it's not. This is the brown towel I use for my hair. The towel I have is the towel that Jossie gave me that she used.
God is holy and righteous, and I'm encouraged each and every single one of us, including myself, including my children. We have to warn our children. We have to warn our family members. You know, the Bible tells us that judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first begins at the house of God, what do you say about the wicked and the ungodly? And so God is going to judge us first, those of us who are called by His name. Stand a little bit. Those of us who are called by His name. And as I come to you this evening, you know, even if it's just one person who would get something from this message, it will all have worth it. And I pray that we do not slumber or sleep, especially in these dark days that we're living in these last days we're living in. You know that Lucifer can literally draw with him one third of the angels of heaven that were cast down to earth, and that includes you and I. If Lucifer can draw one third of the angels of heaven, the holy, righteous angels of heaven that actually existed in the presence of the Most High God, what do you think about us here on this earth, us angels that have forgotten our former estate? The Lord told me, He said, I am going to send you on a journey, and this journey is here, right here in the flesh, in this world. And when you get there, you will not remember your former estate. But you see, Lucifer and the other angels that refuse the mercy and salvation of God, they haven't forgotten their former estate. They have kept their first estate. Not in the sense, they have not kept their first estate. I would say, I meant to say they have remembered their first estate. They have not kept their first estate, but they remember their first estate. They remember their first estate. Or their former estate. But you and I who are here on this earth, we don't remember our former estate. We don't remember who we are. We don't remember that we are fallen angels. That you and I are angels in the flesh. We are spiritual beings living in a flesh body. And many, 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 many of us, you know, are running around, you know, living in sin and living in the flesh and living in the world. And we're not realizing that we only have a short period of time to do what we have to do to get back to heaven, to get back in the presence of our Heavenly Father. We don't have a lot of time. We know we are. I remember as if it was just yesterday that I was a little girl running around. And then I remember when I was a teenager. And then when I was in my 20s. And, you know, now, folks, I can't believe I'm at the age I'm at. I'm in my 50s. So it's really, really, really amazing that, you know, young people think that they're going to stay young forever. If the world is going to be still here, in the next 20 years or so, I will be very surprised that if it is, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like then. I mean, things are not getting better. It's getting worse. And we are living in a world where the world is idolized. The nations are worshiping idols. They're worshiping the works of their own hands. They're worshiping the works and the technology that Lucifer and the other fallen angels have given to them. You know, all the nations of the world are literally bowing down and worshiping idols. The idols, the stock market, you know, the pharmaceutical, big pharma, you know, medicine, beautiful things like beautiful cars and homes and palaces and everything that people hold dear to their heart, you know, mankind, we are idolizing things. The nations have fallen into idolatry. And lo and behold, you and I have also fallen into idolatry because many are not mindful of the things that the Lord gave us to live by. Today, as I was taking my morning walk, you know, I was just looking up at the trees, you know, as I was walking to the park and look at the green grass and the birds and the squirrel rushing around. And it just dawned on me, you know, it's like the Lord God was just putting this in my heart that, and it was just coming and I was just speaking it out as if I was prophesying. I was like, Lord, all the nations of the world have fallen into idolatry. Everything is being idolized and they have forgotten. They have forgotten what the Lord, we all have forgotten what the Lord has given us. No wonder there is so much sicknesses and diseases and just illnesses and so many sick people in the hospitals and nursing homes because of the fact that we have forgotten what the Lord, when the Lord created us, which he did perfectly, perfect body, you know, perfect earth, and he said the leaves of the trees and the herbs of the fields are for the healing of the body and the healing of the nations and the healing of the people. So the Lord God made the herbs of the field and the leaves of the trees for the healing of the people. And we have forgotten, we have lost the knowledge of the natural herbs that are out there, but Lucifer have found a way to commercialize and to monetize everything that the Lord God have given us and to pervert it. Many of the, you know, I'm not putting away hospitals and doctors and whatnot, but many of the medications and things that they gave us to feel better, chemotherapy and all of that, it just, a lot of side effects, and I think most of these things makes us even sicker. And I've had experience with some of these medication in family members and what's not. So I would encourage, you know, I just encourage everyone to just go back to plant based and as much as possible. Like if you have something is going on, would you try and use natural herb? Because the enemy has tainted and just destroy everything that the Lord God has given to us. I was telling my nieces, you know, that have kids, just don't put fluoride on your baby's teeth when they start going to the dentist, because my children, they're going to the dentist since they had teeth, and they said their fluoride is actually to prevent decay, but every time they go to the dentist 6 months later, they will have three and four cavities, and I'm like, how is fluoride protecting the kids' teeth, and every time they go to the dentist, they have so many cavities. And I didn't give my children sweets. And it was amazing that in the Middle East and in Africa, fluoride is banned, and it's actually fluoride decays the teeth, and it actually drops your DNA. So this is the powers that should not be. This is the principalities and powers in high places that are at work. And Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's at work trying to destroy our minds. The fluoride destroy memory. It does a lot, you know, against the body. So we are to be very careful and to be very mindful of the fact that we are wrestling, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against all sort of deceivableness in high places. So we have to be very, very careful with what we put in our body. I remember my grandmother. I grew up in the Caribbean, and the only time that I've ever seen a hospital or a doctor, I guess, is when I was born. I used to climb a lot of trees and take a lot of falling and stuff like that, and to the point that one time I almost died. I couldn't speak or walk for like 3 months, and my grandmother took care of me for the whole 3 months. I mean, I literally felt like, I think God was just keeping me alive. They didn't even take me. I always tell my mom, "What, you know, Mom, I could have died. They didn't even take me to the hospital." And my grandmother just took care of me by putting boiling bushes and rubbing me, anointing my body with oils and bushes. And I don't even remember, but I remember the smell and the taste. And for 9 days, she will give me this thing to drink that she picked a bush from the herbs from the garden, and I would be like roasting down with fever, and she would pack my inside of my clothes with bush and to with fever grass and all these things. It would sting my skin, but I had to keep it there. And a lot of things happened to me as a child. I mean, I was very like a nosy person. I didn't stay in the house, so all sort of things would happen to me. I sprained my arm. I split my big toe with a machete. I fell off a tree way up in the bow, and I think the angels of God were the ones who took the limb. I literally picked the limb off from the tree and rested down in the river all the way from underneath the tree. I was literally like, I don't know, a good 50 feet up in the air in this really tall tree, and it was hanging over a riverbank, and the limb broke, and I didn't know what happened from the time I was in the tree until I was in the river far away from under the tree, still sitting on the branch, still holding the fruit in my hand, eating. And there was no scratch on my skin. The limb wasn't underneath the tree. It was far up away from under the tree from the river. So that's impossible that I would be up in a tree and the next second I'm in the river still sitting on the branch, still holding the fruit in my hand, and you know, the branch was just sitting in the water with me sitting on it, and there was nothing wrong with me. I didn't fall off the tree. It was like the angel of God just hold the branch and just rest it down. And I don't know what I don't remember anything from between that, from when I heard the limb crackle to the point where I'm in the river. Everything else in between there is a loss. It's like everything was taken away from me. The memory, it was like I was put to sleep or something. I don't know what happened, but I just was up in the tree at 1 minute, and the next minute I was in the river still sitting on the branch. So the angels of God always watch over me. I know that for a fact. There were so many things happened to me as a child. that many times I could have died. But God has a plan for each and every single one of us. Every single one of us. And he loves us so very much. And he watches over us. And he has his angels to stand guard over us, to protect us, and to keep the way lest we dash our foot against the stone, folks. We are children of the Most High God, and the Bible tells us that we were created in Christ for good works unto salvation from before the foundation of the world. And if we were created in Christ for good works, then it is not by our power or by our strength, but by the Spirit of the living God. And because the fact that Lucifer and the fallen angels, the ones that didn't accept the salvation of the Most High God and the demonic realm, they are working overtime to idolize everything. And there are so many testimonies I can give you of natural remedy and natural herb that I use for me and my family that actually bring people back from the brink. And I try to stay away from natural medicine if I can. Let me tell you something. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in the power of our might. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." This means that the devil is always wiling against us. The devil is always after us. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having our loins girt with the truth." Now I'm going to stop there and I'm going to segue back up. Now we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, folks. Our fight and the warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of darkness of this world, well, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places of the government, high places in the police forces, in the military, in the White House, in the churches, in the pharmaceutical industries, in businesses and companies that make decisions that affect other people. This is why the world is what it is. We are fighting against these spiritual. Listen, when I listen to our president and I hear the things and see the things and see how delusional this man is, I'm standing there scratching my head. I'm like, is he for real? And it just dawned on me, just came in my spirit, that this man is already overtaken by evil spirits. Because listen, the Bible is telling us that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're looking at Donald Trump. You're looking at the leaders of this world. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We can't be blaming. We have to pray for the man. We have to pray for these people that they are delivered. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, anyone, if I don't have the Holy Spirit in me, if no one has the Holy Spirit in them, if we're not seeking righteousness and we're not seeking and walking in the things of God, then if the Holy Spirit is not in us, then another spirit lives in us. Another spirit lives in you. Another spirit lives. I mean, tell you something. The Bible tells us we are known by our works. We are known by our works and by the words of that comes out of our mouth. And the words that I hear come out of these leaders' mouth, they are far from God, and we need to pray for them. But because sometimes I'm like, yeah, this person is literally taken over by the demonics, because when Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was tempted of the devil, when he took him up on the high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, the Bible tells us that the devil said to Yeshua, you see all of this? All of the kingdoms of the world, it was given over into my hand, and I gave it to whomever I will, if they will bow down and worship me. And the glory of them, so all the riches and all the things that comes with running this world and with some of these big religious organizations, it's been Lucifer said it, and you know, Jesus Yeshua didn't contend with him where that was concerned. He didn't say, no, you're a liar, but we know that and the Bible says that this is what runs the world. But Jesus Christ said, you know, it is written, you know, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, and shalt thou bow down. So we are to counteract the enemy and the powers and principalities that are running this world with the word of God and with prayer, with non-season prayer. And what Lucifer, what the enemy does, is cause us to break God's commandments and cause us to go up against his precepts and his statutes and his words and everything that has to do with the Most High God. Everything that is holy and righteous is under attack by the enemy. And not only that, the enemy attack everything that is of God, God's commandments, God's holiness, God's righteousness, and the Most High God. You know, and not only that, he's targeting every area of our lives, our mind, our body, to destroy our health and our body and our mind through food, through medicine, through the air, to the water, through technology. It's putting family against each other. The enemy have been around for a very long time. But the word of God tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's a battle for survival. Lucifer doesn't want us to get back to being in the presence or in the sight of our Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us to get back there because he knows that he will never get there. So the rebellion starts in heaven, folks. And he drew one third of the angels from heaven. And I cannot stress this enough, that one third of the angels that fell from heaven, you and I are part of that one third of the angels that fell from heaven. We are angels in the flesh. We are spiritual beings living in a flesh body, in a temporary body. And it's all there in the Word of God. It says, I think it's in Hebrews, well, since the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise put on the same flesh and blood that he may destroy sin and death in his body. So who are the children? Since the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, how can we partake of the flesh and blood if we are mere flesh and blood people? Impossible. So because we are spiritual being, angelic being, we are the children that are partakers of the flesh and blood. We are these fallen angels that are partakers of the flesh and blood. And he himself took on flesh and blood so he can save us, so he can bring us back to his side. The first Adam, his side was open, and the woman, the church, the bride, was taken out of Adam. Well, when the Lord put him in a deep sleep and he took out the rib and he created the woman. Same when Yeshua was hanging on the cross and the Lord God put him in a deep sleep, he arose again the third day. But when he was in a deep sleep, this sleep of death, the soldier opened his side with the spear and water and blood came out. The Lord showed me that symbolic to the church being grafted back in, being back into the side, back to the side of the Father. It's very symbolic. Same way, the Sabbath day, you know, it's very symbolic that we are to honor the commandments of God. And one of the commandments that many today are rejecting and are just throwing out is the holy Sabbath day of the Lord. If Satan can draw one-third of the angels from heaven and deceive angelic beings, holy, righteous beings, that actually stood in the presence of the Most High God and just know who God is from the foundation, they were created perfect spiritual being. If he can have that type of influence on holy, righteous angels in heaven, what do you think about you and I that are here in the flesh, that are separated from the Father and do not remember our former estate? But he remember his former estate. He has left his former estate, who he was in heaven, but he remembers who he is. That's why he's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he has knowledge of the goodness of God. He has knowledge of who he is. He knows who we are. And he's been around for millennia. And he is the author he is the author of everything that's evil. And so we came down here. We put on flesh. We accept the salvation of the Lord. The rebellion came down from heaven and then started again in the Garden of Eden. And there we are. Here we are today in man's final day on earth, that mankind is still eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're still eating the fruits that the serpent is serving up. If we go in Revelation chapter 12, let me see here, Revelation chapter 12 tells us, about the serpent. He's angry, you know, he's angry at the woman. The woman is symbolic to Eve. He was angry at the woman way in the Garden of Eden. That's why he went and deceived her. And then he questioned God's commandment that he gave to Adam and Eve. What did God really say? He doesn't really mean it that way. Same thing he's saying today with the precepts and statutes and commandments and of God. People, you know, many are saying, had God really say that to keep the Sabbath day holy and it's the seventh day of the seventh day and it's sanctified and set apart? God doesn't really mean to be so such and such straitjacket to just keep that one day. You can, yeah, any day is fine. And, you know, as long as you pray on every day. No, that's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie. Many are still eating. And the Bible tells us that God proves us. Think somewhere in Exodus. God proves us with the seven-day Sabbath to see whether or not we will honor him or not. God proves us. He tests us. And he said his commandments are not grievous. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you, don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what the world say, what your neighbors say, what your family say. I've took a lot of beating and a lot of criticism for this Sabbath day. And I said it's my baby because, you know, I once didn't keep the holy Sabbath day until the Lord drew me, my attention, when I asked him to teach me how to love him. And he said to me, the first thing I heard in my spirit, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I said, Lord, have I not kept your commandment? And he said, you have not kept my holy Sabbath day. And I said, Lord, I am guilty. Teach me, would you please teach me everything I need to know about the Sabbath day? And this is how I started keeping the holy Sabbath day. Proverbs 3:1 tells us, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Not just the Sabbath day, but all of the commandments. And if we believe that thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and all these things, what make us think that there is a way we can get past the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath day? Satan perverts everything, and he put it in the hearts of man to question everything that is holy and righteous of God. The Sabbath is a holy day. Marriage is a holy, sanctified, relationship or between a man and a woman that God set together from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, because a husband and a wife is actually symbolic to Yeshua being the husbandman and the church being the bride or the wife. And it's holy unto the Lord, so it's kind of symbolic. That's why he said, thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not commit fornication. And Satan knows that. This is why he went and committed adultery with Eve in the Garden of Eden, because he just play mankind like a fiddle, like a cheap. Well, I was going to say something, but I wouldn't even say that. You know, even though the Bible have it, you know, have the word whore or prostitute in the Bible. So this is how Satan treats mankind, you know, and he kind of put these thoughts and these in the minds of mankind, especially in the church. And he causes us to question everything that is of God. He set enmity. God set enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The woman again symbolizes the church or the bride of Christ. So there's an enmity. There is a war going on between the seed of Lucifer and the seed of God, the seed of the woman or the children of God. And he is working, him and his wicked children are working nonstop to twist and to pervert everything that is of God. And one of the other sanctity that I was talking about is the sanctity of marriage, and where the Bible tells us a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. And because it's so holy and it's symbolic to Yeshua being the husbandman and the church being the bride of Christ, he perverted the love between a man and a woman. And therefore, we have the legalization of marriage between two men and between two women and all sort of twisted version of how a woman can be binary, can be either a man or a woman in the same body, and they can go both ways with a man and a woman. And so such Satan has managed to pervert everything that is holy and righteous and means so much to the Lord. And this is what I'm saying, that many are still eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The commandments, the Sabbath day, have been twisted and twerped and turned upside down. Marriage have been twisted and twerped and turned upside down. You know, they have the young people thinking that they can shack up and not married, and it's okay. They're saying, oh, it's overrated, we don't have to do this. They have these young people thinking that they are a boy thinking that he's a girl and a girl thinking he's a boy, and the government have this money, this insurance set aside as soon as, even if the child is 10 years old, and they say, oh, I feel like a little girl is saying, oh, I feel as if I'm a man or I feel as if I'm a boy, and because they're teaching these things in school, and lo and behold, they're encouraging the parent. Yeah, your surgery is free, you know, we can do surgery on this kid right now. We can start this kid on hormones to transform her into a he and to transform a he into a her. And by the time they get to to be 20 years old, they realize, wait a minute, this was a mistake. And that's why a lot of these kids, when they get to be certain age and realize that this was wrong, they become so disturbed in their mind, because now their body, they don't even recognize their body they're in anymore because of the hormones or the surgery. It's all a mess in this world that we're living in. It's all a mess, and Lucifer has managed to infiltrate from the womb, and we have to pray like we have never prayed before. We have to cry out for mercy. The Lord said to me, "Call unto me night and day in sackcloth and ashes to show yourself approved." So we have to show ourselves approved in prayer and supplication every day. Pray for our brothers and sisters, pray for the leaders of these nations and of the churches and of the pastors. You know, many of them are so really blinded by tradition and by the seminary that taught them how to preach. I mean, nobody can teach you how to preach or how to teach the Word of God but the Holy Spirit Himself. So, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to just hold fast to the Word of God, the undefiled Word of God, the unleavened Word of God, where we add nothing to the Word of God. We take nothing out and we throw nothing away. We just, if we don't understand, we just ask the Lord to teach us. Psalm Proverbs 4:40 reads, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my word, keep my commandments and live." What? We think that all of these things have been thrown out. Like I said, the commandments, the laws of God are very, very important. The Lord God cannot govern his people without laws and commandments. It is to keep us on the straight and narrow. It is to keep us focused on Him. Proverbs 7, chapter 7, verse 2 tells us, "Keep my commandment and live, and the law as the apple of thine eye." John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." This is the New Testament. This is Yeshua himself speaking. God himself in the flesh. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." So if Yeshua can keep Father's commandment, he's encouraging us to keep his commandment. And if we do this, we are going to abide in his love. His love is going to be in us, overflowing. He said, "Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." 1 John 5:3 tells us, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his..." You know, one of the Ten Commandments is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And Jesus Christ said, "It is he that keep my commandments to them. It is that love me. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous." "He that keep my commandments and do them, he it is that love me. And he that love me shall be love of my Father. And we will come. We will come and we will take up our abode with him. We will come and we will live in him." So folks, these are the days when we are to reject the world, when we are to reject the ways of the world, where we are to reject the commandments and doctrines of man, no matter what, at every cost. Like I said, I have taken a beating. Like when I just started to just go with the straight and narrow word of God and seek the Lord for the truth, and when he revealed all these things to me, up to this day, not even my family, they don't even tune in to listen. I tell them, I send them the link every evening. I'm going to do the daily, Bible studies. What's not? They don't tune in. They don't want to hear. I love them daily, but they don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. I asked the Lord. I said, Father, who should I tell all these things? All these things that you're showing me, all these things you're revealing to me. Say, tell it to whomever would listen. And you know, a lot of people would say, oh, ask me, oh, how many people tune in? How many people are listening? It doesn't matter. Are you listening? It doesn't matter even if it's just one person. One person, it would mean a lot to God. When Yeshua walked the earth and he was God in the flesh, he had 12 faithful disciples that followed him everywhere. There were other ones, many he saved, and they went their own way. Many believed on him, but there were 12 faithful ones that went everywhere with him, that hold fast to him. So, folks, I'm encouraging all of us, including myself, to continue. Do not give up. Do not lose hope in these dark days that we are living in, because we are living in dark days. Many, many, many leaders of this world are going to be overtaken by demonic spirit. This is why you see what you see in the media and in the news. And you scratch your head and you wonder, what? Am I hearing correctly? We see all these killings of all the African Americans and all this murder and all this injustice that's going on in the world. And you wonder, what's going on? And the Lord constantly remind me, these are the days of vengeance. These are the days that he spoke of. And he said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will recompense. And I tell, like my family, there we go. I'm like, God sees everything and he knows everything. And even though some people think that they're not going to be punished for what they do in this life, trust me when I tell you their punishment will be far harsher and far worse on that day when the Lord God is ready to judge them. They think that they're getting away with all this wickedness, but they are not. They are not. All we have to do is continue to pray for our family, pray for these people who are leading these nations, and pray that God will help us to endure to the end and will strengthen us anyways. I love each and every one of you in Christ, and I pray that God will keep us into another day in Yeshua's name. Area code 708. Thank you for tuning in. Love you in Christ, and I pray that God will keep you and your family always. Good night.